Boy, I was telling Phil and Richard a few weeks ago that they're really great guys, but I was getting sick and tired of looking at just them. So I want to tell you, you are all a sight for sore. By the way, is my hair in place? Oh, just. Yeah, that's right. Oh, dear. Well, isn't it nice to be back? We're not sure what we're back to. Yeah, I think it's great, and I'd be glad to be through all this COVID stuff. And I mean, I think, can we all meet out in the parking lot or somewhere with our masks off? I'd really like to see the bottom half of your faces. I got to tell you, there was a lady I was talking to the other day, and I thought I knew what her face looked like till she took off her mask. And it was a lady who remained nameless, but I thought, oh, that isn't exactly how I pictured her. But anyway, she needed a shave. No, I shouldn't say that. Anyway, okay. So, fellas, let's start with some announcements. We've got some pictures we want to update you on, and some things that have been happening this week. So, I think we've got the baby bottle campaign. So, this is the last week for the baby bottle campaign. If you haven't given to that, please consider that this week. And then we've got, I think, Richard, we've got some pictures of the drive-by for Ed and Audrey. And Donna, thanks for coordinating all of that, as always. The drive-bys have been a real godsend this last year and a half. And then we gave them each some little gift certificates on their way. And so there was a lot of tears. And this is what they said. They sent us a little email. Ed and I have truly loved being part of this family of God. We felt welcomed from the start and were blessed to be members and serve in various ways. You all have been very dear to us. We will miss the Wasaga Community Church very much, and we hope and pray to find another church in BC that is as welcoming and true to God's word. Thank you so much for the drive-by parade and your generous gifts. We were truly surprised and touched by the love shown to us until we meet again. So for those of you that were able to make it, that was great to have you on board. Okay, a couple of, I think we've got several announcements I want to give, just to take note of. Okay, so we're still doing the prayer times, Mondays at 1 and now Saturdays at 7, okay? Ladies, 10 o'clock here, and girls, you're going till what day? How much longer?
23rd.
To the 23rd, okay. So Wednesday, ladies, at 10. Thursday, we've got the cleanup. Bob has asked if we could come here for 9 o'clock. Brooms, rakes, whatever you've got. We're going to try to sweep the parking lots and just clean it up and be ready for now the summer. And then, of course, Thursday night, we're now back having Bible studies. So we're back here for 7 o'clock on Thursday night. All right. And if it's with your permission, I'll lead it. If you don't, Carl will. Somebody will. But we're going to start that up again. And so just a reminder for that. And we've got some birthdays. So Jane, a very happy birthday for the 14th. Happy 39th year. Well, we got her an early birthday present. We bought her a nice bike. And boy, I'll tell you, we've been biking around the community. Do you know I can't keep up with her? Like, it's scary. Like, I don't know what gear she's in, but I'm going like whoa, ho, ho, yeah, ho, ho, you know. And anyway, she's off. So anyway, if you haven't got your bike out for a while, I'd suggest you get your bike out.
Pastor,
yes, ma'am.
Where did you buy your bike?
We bought it privately, but it was a Norcal bike.
Oh, that's fine.
And they're a really nice bike, and so, just whatever suits you.
It's because Don's granddaughter is selling the bike soldier.
Okay, so she's selling. Let her, yes. So Phil.
Why wasn't it Harley Davidson?
Harley Davidson. We actually said to each other, if we ever decide to go motorcycling, we're going to get one of those spider bikes. Because knowing the way I drive, I'd want two wheels on the road. And we want to also wish Grant a very happy birthday for the 18th. He's our beekeeper, and he has delicious honey. He's just on the east side of Stainer. If you haven't ever had his honey, it's amazing. And the Siskos, they have their wedding anniversary on the 17th, so we want to wish them a very happy anniversary. Rick, who's Rick and Kathy? I don't know. Do you?
Yeah, you didn't marry somebody else here.
Is this your second girl?
Yeah.
Happy second. Where's Rick? Why are you okay? I'm going to assume you're what?
We're currently separated.
Yes, I see that you're currently separated. That kind of concerns me. I'm free tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. If you need counseling, you can come over. But anyway, happy anniversary. I'm just teasing you both. Congratulations, and I just pray it's a great year for you. Don't forget, this will probably be our final week for Zoom because we're back in church, so we'll still do Monday and Thursdays. I've got Paul Bingle's funeral on Monday, so I'm hoping, Phil, you'll coordinate for us on Monday, the Zoom, if you can. If not, we'll work it out. Somebody will be there to help coordinate that. But and many of you remember Paul Bingle. Paul and his wife Dorothy were our summer folks. We've known them about 4 years. So it'll be a real service of celebration for his life tomorrow down in Brampton. So just be praying for him. Okay, is there any other announcements I missed? Sheila, any updates for people as far as offering? Or we have the offering plates here, but if they need to contact you, to just let you know. By the way, Sheila, just stand up for a minute, would you please? I don't usually point this out, but I want you to look at her ankles. Boy, those ankles, like, look at how they're healing up. Girl, we're just so happy for you. Oh, Roy, you better be taking her out dancing. Yeah, your ankles look pretty good too, Roy. I'm impressed. Yeah, thanks for sharing. Anyway, we're so happy that you're feeling so much better. So that's good. Anything else as we get started back into everything? Don and Donna, it's nice to have you back.
I just want to let you know, I was going to do this when I stood up, but Jude had 4 biopsies over a month ago, and we got the results on Thursday. Everything was clear.
Super. Super. What a relief for you. Yeah. Oh, that's marvelous. Yes, Rick? I would pay to see your house coat and slippers after the shirts I've seen you wear, Rick. So, yeah, feel free to slide in. Try Thursday night. We'll do a test run with you. How's that? Anyway. Okay, any other announcements? Anything? Any other updates? Okay, we'll do notes of praise and prayer now. Can we do that, Rich? Okay. So, Susan Siebers is asking for prayer. There was an emergency motion this past week, and there's a final adjudication with the judge on the 22nd. And so they're really praying the Lord will rule in ways that will help the girls especially. And Bruce's sister, Dorothy, any update, Bruce, on your sister?
She's a woman recovering. She's doing a little better.
Okay.
Very slow, though.
All right. Okay, just a reminder, if you're talking, take your mask down.
Take your mask down.
Okay. You two are fine, but... You know, Rick was a little questionable. So I'll say it for everybody. So we'll continue to pray for Dorothy. Yes. And the funeral, you were able to participate with your other sister in Newfoundland and be there? Good. Good. So for Dorothy Bingle, because of the change, they're able to have 35 people at the service and 50 outdoors. So that's been a real change. Last week, of course, we only have 10. And so at least families can get together a little more. Now we have 2 couples that Suzanne has met. Richard, do you know anything about it or anything more than what's on the screen?
No, they were bedmates in the same.
Just take your mask off.
Same room, in the same rooms, each 2 different rooms she was in. So they're just people that she's got to know, and she was able to actually share quite well with each of them. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, so give us an update on your wife now. That's right. Yeah, Barry, when you were a prison guard, did you ever work at the Don jail?
I didn't work there, but I did.
Take your mask down.
I didn't work there, but I've been there a few times.
Okay. Okay. All right. Sorry.
So she's starting. They've done all the testing and the
And they're talking.
2 to 3 weeks.
And tell us about how your 49th anniversary went. You were able to get into the hospital with her.
I was, yes. They gave us a dispensation. You're not supposed to, 7 days, you're not allowed in. It's total lockdown for the first 7 days. But they got me in, and so we had a nice 4 or 5 hours together. So it was lovely.
Oh, that's nice. And then you get to, when do you get to go down and see her again? How's that work for you?
I'm in 3 cities every week now. I'm in Oakville for 2 days. I'm in Toronto for 3, and now up here for 2. So doing, cutting the lawn, doing the laundry, redoing food, redoing clothing, getting back down again. So it's a great
Phil, do you think we could lend him the church helicopter?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be okay? Yeah, all right. Anyway, we're really praying for you, and especially for your wife with all she's going through. Okay, and you've got Crystal's brother-in-law, Lendro. I don't know him, but he's suffered a stroke, and so Crystal is very concerned. Do we have anything else under the prayer requests?
Yes.
Oh.
And up to 150 seizures a day. And they can't seem to find out what it is. And it just bothers
me. Oh, that's rough. Wow. And what's her name?
Madison.
Okay. Okay. All right. Do we have any other things for prayer? Anybody else? Kathy? Just whip your mask down, kiddo.
Sorry. Just glad to be here. I guess just for my family and myself, just things keep going around and things just keep. I think I'm just misunderstood a lot of times, and maybe it's my personality. I don't know what it is, but I hope that God can work in me so I can.
So we'll just call it family dynamics. Okay, we're gonna pray for breakthrough. Yeah. Okay, Kath. Thanks. Anything else for prayer, Gail?
I just like to pray for the beach because tooling around the last week and a half, I've seen two people yelling to the sky, "Stop breathing."
Yeah. Yeah, there are, and they're walking around. You can see them regularly. Also, did you hear? There's a 21-year-old drowned yesterday, so we need to pray for their family. And is that other fact been borne out about Jane? We don't know. Okay, there could be another situation that we'll need to pray for. But thanks, Gail. Anything else for prayer? Okay, notes of praise. Just that Monica is doing much better. Pain in her leg is diminished. The Noro family are hoping to be back in Toronto on June the 20th via Paris and Serbia. Yeah, Jane was thinking it was Siberia, so I corrected her, and now I'm thinking Siberia too. So they're going through Serbia, and so pray everything goes. I think what is it, the 15th, Jane? They've got to start out, something like that? 18th. Belgrade, yeah, okay.
And then you stay there for 3 days and have a test, and when it's negative, they get on the next plane, fly to Toronto.
And then they're quarantined up at the Stainer campground. They're able to get them a 3-bedroom apartment up there, so that's going to be a real blessing. And that young man, Steve, that we've been praying about, fell down the elevator shaft, the 11 floors, he's making remarkable progress. It's just unbelievable. Quote unquote. So some really fascinating things are happening, and the Lord gets praise. So let's open our service with prayer and thanksgiving, and just an update as we tell the Lord all that we've been going through. Father, this has been a hectic time, despite the fact that we've not been together. Lord, many of our families, we still feel very distant from them. There's still things that we are waiting for. As Kathy mentioned, she's waiting for some kind of resolution in her family. Lord, I'm sure many families are stressed out with everything that's been going on. We pray for all the students and teachers as they're trying to wrap up June, and for graduations and just interactions again. It's been really, really hard for these young people. I just pray for Becca, who is now working out at Tojo's with all these young kids that are coming up for the summers, and they're trying to interact again. And as Doug and Deanne coordinate all the campers and worship services over there, Lord, that you would bless them and help them. Father, thank you for the good work that's going on for Suzanne, not only the opportunities to witness of her faith to people, but just the people that are coming alongside of her. We pray that she has a very speedy therapy reality and healing and is able to get home in good order. Bless Richard. He's on the road a lot. Protect him and give him energy and just the strength to go through all that he's going through. And Father, I just thank you for the good news that Carl has mentioned about Judy. Father, we've got so many issues with doctors and waiting for results, and we just need to know that you're working in powerful ways. And so thank you for what you've done for Judy. Continue to bring healing to her and to Carl. Father, we just pray for Rhoda today with the passing of her sister this week. And Lord, would you be of great comfort to her in the midst of all that she is going through with that and the interaction with her sister's family. And Father, for Dorothy in the passing of Paul, and as she comes to grips with trying to organize everything for tomorrow and what'll be taking place. And Father, we just again thank you for this town. We are very concerned hearing of this young man that passed away drowned yesterday. His family will be in great grief. And Father, for those that are involved in substance abuse, there's so many different issues, so many layers within our town alone, as Gail has mentioned. And so we just would pray that you would have your Holy Spirit just supervise every aspect of this town in these upcoming days. And of course, for Crystal's brother who's had this stroke, would you just be very near to him? As Donna has mentioned, her great-great niece having these seizures, we pray that they will be medicinally corrected and she will be able to start living some kind of normal life. For Monica, as she continues to get strength in her leg, the Noros, as they will be flying out hopefully by the end of this week, early next week. And for this young man who is recovering so amazingly after this 11-story fall. And so for all the ways you blessed us, we just say thank you. And for all the things you're doing, and as we head into this new week, we know you're going before us. And so with confidence, we just say thank you. And Lord, thank you that we're all together again. It's just terrific to be here. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Carl, why don't you and the team come up and lead us in some music? Boy, you already sound great. I can't imagine how good you're all going to sound without your masks on. It's going to be terrific. I want to speak to you today on the difference between peace and panicking. What I have been amazed at is the panic looks that I see on people's face consistently. I mean, it's one thing to have a panic look when you're going down a roller coaster and you're at the CNE. But I was amazed, and Phil, turn me down just a little bit. I was amazed when the house across the road was selling 3 weeks ago, and everybody that came to look at the house looked like they'd been hit by 2x4s. They looked disoriented. They looked nervous. They looked scared. And all I could see was what I would call panic. I got to get out of Toronto. I got to get out of Toronto. I got to get out of Toronto. And for you and I think we don't realize how fortunate and blessed we are to be outside of the GTA, be outside of Brampton. And you can see why people flock to their cottages. You can see why people are trying to sell their homes and move out of this environment. So I thought I would share a couple of things with you just to encourage you today. And hopefully you can even use some of these scriptures if you get a chance to talk with people around you. Have you noticed, though, that most people will not even look at you? It seems the longer this goes on, the less they want to look at you. I don't worry so much about the people. I'm worried more about their carts they're pushing, because they're going around and they're not. It doesn't matter where that you're in their way. They're going to run you over, or they're going to whatever. I don't know where. I think people are so self-focused that they're not even looking to say, oh, hello, good morning, or anything. It's just, I'm in here, let me through. And so I thought some of these scriptures would help you. And have you thought lately that Psalms and Proverbs are kind of like tag team books with fathers and son? It really hit me again this week when I was reading Proverbs, and then I was looking back at Psalms. I thought, well, of course Solomon would talk about that. His dad probably talked about it. You know, when you think about it, we have a tremendous influence, good or bad, from our forefathers. And so I want to start with something here. And David starts it off in Psalm chapter 1, and he simply says this, blessed is the man who what? Walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he what? He prospers. Now, does that mean there's no trials, tribulations, sufferings, or persecution? No. In the midst of all that you and I are going through, David says, we are going to what? Prosper, because we're like a tree that's planted and being fed by the Holy Spirit. And if you look at that, the law of the Lord is really what? It's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. You can see why Satan hates the Bible. Because everything we need for life is in the book. Everything. And so as you think about the wisdom of God, that the reality of that wisdom that comes to our lives, as well as what? Our own life experiences. I was talking to Dorothy Bingle's daughter yesterday, and I asked her how old she was. Maybe I shouldn't do those kinds of things, but she mentioned she was in her 40s, and I said, oh, 40s, what a great decade. She goes, why? I said, well, first of all, you're not in your 20s. And by the time you're in your 40s, you've had enough life experiences to know what works and doesn't work. You've also got some respectability because usually you've got an established job or you've got a family. And you know, and I said, 40s were my best decade. It was just, and the other thing, too, is, I don't know about the rest of you, but I didn't have too many health issues back in my 40s. Did you? I mean, the biggest thing was going to the dentist and finding out if you had any cavities. That was it. Well, maybe you're different, but I'd already lost my hair, so I had nothing to pull out. I didn't. 40s were just, and the reality too is we realize the wisdom of God and the life experience He's giving us should what? Give us more peace and less panic. But is that always the case? Proverbs, Solomon says this in verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding. And then he goes on in verse 21, my son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul, adornment for your neck. And then when you walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble, if you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet, except if somebody's lying next to you and the snoring keeps them awake. Your sleep will be sweet. Theirs might not be. But anyway, your sleep will be... But here's the crucial thing. Do not be afraid of what? What do the words say? Do not be afraid of what? Sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes. Sudden terror. Now listen, let me explain something to you. How many of you and I in this last year have been blindsided by something we were not anticipating? And the initial thought is what? Oh, we suck air, we hyperventilate, and we just go, oh, what am I going to do? The Lord already knows what's going to happen. He already knows what He's going to do to help us. And the sudden terror is not necessarily based because we've sinned. We have sudden terror because we live in a fallen world. People are just driving along in their car, they're going through an intersection, they get T-boned. Sudden terror. They're just living their life, and suddenly they go for a checkup, and they find they have prostate cancer or something. The reality is sudden terror can come from anywhere, but as what does Solomon say? Do not be afraid of the terror, because the latter part of verse 26 says, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. In other words, the terror will not trip us up. And then again, if you look at that, from what David was saying in the Psalms, and how many Psalms do we go to, and I'm going to refer to Sheila's favorite one, Psalm 91, in a minute, but how many times do we see David saying, I took courage in the Lord, my bones were like wax, and yet I focused on the Lord. And what's Solomon doing? He said, focus on the Lord, and he will help you. Because again, I do think a lot had to do, we don't know, but I think probably their father and son, they did a fair bit of talking. And would have talked about the Lord and the things that God was doing. Proverbs 16 and 9 says, and this is one of my favorite verses, the heart of a man plans his way, but what? The Lord establishes his steps and directs us even in what? The midst of sudden terror. Praise God for that. And then Psalm 91, the Lord will command his angels concerning you to guard you in how many ways? What does it say? Okay, if you have your Bible open, circle the word all. Please circle the word all. He's going to guard us. Now, does that mean we're not going to go through it? Well, if I got a nickel for every time I went through something I wish I didn't have to go through, honey, I'd have been retired about 10 years ago. Because the reality is that the Lord is with us in the midst of life and all we're going through. Now, sometimes he supernaturally intervenes. How many times have you and I been in situations where we thought there was going to be an accident, or we thought, oh, these roads are pretty bad, and God brought us through, black ice, whatever. The end result is what? He protected us. And it says, on their hands they will bear you up, his angels, and they will what? Bear you up in such a way lest you strike your foot against a stone. The reality is that he is saying, the Lord is looking after you. Then he goes on, like in Psalm 34, one of my favorite psalms, David says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, his ears toward what? When does a person cry? When they're in a terror situation. Now, there is an exception to that. My two daughters screamed for me to come and help because of a spider. Their screams indicated to me that the spider was about the size of a small or medium-sized tank. And I'd go flying down the stairs, and they were usually both standing outside the door, pointing almost breathless, in there, it's over, don't. And I'd look in, and I couldn't see it. I said, no, it's gonna run over by the toilet, it's gonna, and I'd go in, and I'd look. Well, after I about had a nervous breakdown, I picked them up and took them out, and there was instant relief. And then, so the reality, I think sometimes the Lord hears our cry, and we're going, it's a spider, it's a spider. And remember, he runs the universe. So he's going, really? That's okay, I'm here for you. But keep in mind that you don't need to cry that loud. I do hear you. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. And when the righteous cry for help, because there's terror, the Lord hears and delivers them out of how many? All of their troubles. Again, the word all. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, saves the crushed in spirit, because you can be terrorized by death, by overwhelming situations, impending bankruptcies, legal obligations that are coming at you, those things. And what does it do? The Lord is near. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of how many of them? All of them. All of them. Now, does he do it in an hour? In a day? It might not be for a while, but does the Lord's timing not always show itself as being perfect? I think so. And so the wisdom and deliverance of the Lord in times of stress, and we call out and we say we need our help. Now, here's an interesting statistic. Doctors have estimated that 1/3 of all of us in North America are going to have at least one panic attack this year. Now, for some of you, you know well what panic attacks feels like. You know what it likes to feel claustrophobic. You know what all those things, and you know the, yes, I understand that, Pastor John. So the first thing I do is you breathe deeply. Jesus, please help me. Jesus, please help me. Please. I said to a lady one time, I said, how are you doing? She goes, I have one word. And I waited to hear what it was. I thought, she says, it's just Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I said, good. Because I know some other people, they would use other words. And I was thrilled she was using that word. And then, of course, we talk to ourselves. I think self-talk is absolutely crucial. God, I know you're helping me. God, I know you're helping me. God is helping me. God is helping me. God is with me right now. I'm not alone. I mean, we have all of that. Then we have the whole reality of the fact that that he's here and he's working. And even if we can't see that he's working, we're not alone in the midst of our panic attacks. I think that in those times you go, okay, all right, I'm going to listen to some worship music, or I'm going to call a friend. Or here's another one. Ask somebody to pray for you. I'm amazed at how many times when I've talked to somebody, they're going through a hard time, and I'll say, well, would you like me to pray for you? Oh, yes. And I'm thinking, why didn't you say that right off the hop? And I would have prayed right away for you. So phone a friend, get them to pray. Reminds me of Mike's story. Now, Mike was a grandfather, and he had his 3.5-year-old out in the grocery store, and the 3.5-year-old had a meltdown. Wasn't good, wasn't pretty. So he realized he had to get up to the counter, check out the food, and get this child to the car. So he started talking. Mike, you're going to be okay. Mike, everything's fine. Don't worry, Mike. Everything's going to be, you'll be okay. And he talked his way all the way up to the checkout line. He then put all the food in, and this little guy is just wailing. And, of course, the cashier, she's very sympathetic, and she's trying to help him as fast as they can. Mike, you're going to make it. Okay, yeah, Mike, okay. Yeah, okay, that's good. Okay, now just, you'll be fine. Let's just get to the car. Anyway, he gets out to the car, gets his little guy in, into the booster seat, and another lady who was behind him comes out, and she goes, you're doing amazingly. An amazing job with Mike. You just talked to him, and you just tried to keep him calm. He says, what are you talking about? I'm Mike. Yeah, we're going to have panic attacks. We're going to have to do some pretty heavy-duty self-talk and get whatever we need to do to get through it. So I want to leave this with you. Okay, we're aware of times when we can panic, and we're missing peace. So let's just finish up by actually looking at how we can get peace. Because a lot of times when we're terrorized or we're hit and blindsided, we don't think, oh, this is a moment for peace. I don't know about you, but I immediately suck air and usually stop breathing. So I want to propose to you, we go back to Philippians, because I think Paul is absolutely critical and crucial in how he says this thing. God always starts with our what. If we're going through an issue, where does God start? Right here. He always starts with our brain. Because as a man thinks, so he is. So therefore, if we're going through a terror moment or we're feeling absolutely overwhelmed, what's screaming the loudest? Our body, our will, our emotions, or our brain? Our brain. Okay? So he starts, and this is what he says in Philippians 4 and 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding in our minds, will what? Guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So what Paul is saying is, even before the terror hits you and you go into a potential panic mode, what do you need to remind yourself? That God's already here and he's coordinating and he has got a peace for us. For me too. Because sometimes they think, oh yeah, well, they're a spiritual person. God will give them peace, but not me. I'm just a runt. No, peace is for everybody. And then what he does is he said, here's how I want you to respond to that reality where God's going to give you peace. If God's got peace for you, how then, as a result of that, do you want to think? And that's what he says in verse 8. Brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, do what? Do what? Think on the things that are honorable and of good report and are excellent. I've got a neighbor who's absolutely convinced that she's going to hit black ice again. 5 years ago, 5 years ago, she was on her way to Collingwood, and she did a spin out on our road. No real damage. She came home that night from work, and she told her husband, "We have to move to Collingwood." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because I hit black ice on this road, on Morgan Road." And he said, "Honey, you're going to hit black ice anywhere when the temperature drops to a certain degree, and there's going to be..." No, she says, "We got to move to Collingwood. We are moving to Collingwood. That's all there is to it." "Yeah, but..." "No." "Well, that's been 5 years. What kind of pressure do you think he's been under for the last 5 years? He's now retired from work. What do you think he does every day during the winter? Sleeps in? No. Gets the buggy out and takes his wife to work and then comes back home. And what do you think he does at the end of her workday? Gets the buggy out again and drives to Collingwood and brings her back home. Whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are true. And I'm not putting this lady down, but where is her brain? It's in everything that's fearful. Because she had a moment in time that terrorized her, and she's absolutely convinced that she's going to continue to be terrorized in the wintertime as long as she's on that road. Now, family, quite frankly, you and I would look at that and go, there is absolutely no logic in that, and that's true. There isn't, because it's all fear-based. And what's she doing? She's panicking. She's panicking. Think on these things. Paul said it in this way, because he had his mind in gear with the Lord. And here's chapter 4, 12 and 13 as we wrap up this morning. "I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me," where? Mentally. Now, the Amplified says it beautifully. "I can do all things, which he has called me to do, through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose." Now, look at this next line. This is one of Jane's favorite lines. "I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency." Just let that bottle around your head for a minute. "I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace." Why? Because he's in us. He never leaves us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You know, when I nearly died from the poison ivy blood poisoning situation that I had about 6 years ago, and it was a whole week in the hospital, and it was just a mess, and finally as I started to recover, I remember praying, I remember saying to the Lord, "Lord, boy, has that ever been a rough week?" And I got back one short answer: "I know." I go, no, Lord, this has been a really bad week. This has been tough. I nearly died, you know that. But he goes, "I know." I go, "Lord, this is about my life." He goes, "I live in you. I've gone through everything you've gone through." Boy, I had to sit down in the chair. I realized everything I'm going through, not only is the Lord going before me and my rear guard walk beside me, but he's in me. Yes, I still went through a horrific week, but in all of it, the Lord was with us. And so I want to challenge you this week. If the Lord is in us, and we know the score to keep from panicking, the only decision you and I have left to make is to rededicate our lives in such a way that this week, are you going to give him your will, your emotions, your body, your thoughts, your money, your activities, your plans, your intentions? You're going to give those you interact with and those who have authority over you. That's the reality. If Jesus is running the show, he's Lord of all. And the reality is, what are we going to have when the times of panic hit us? Peace. And so I conclude with Solomon's words again. "Do not be afraid of the sudden terror when it comes, or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from what? Being caught." Family, I think we're in for an exciting week. I don't know what the Lord has for you or for me, but I know he's already gone through it ahead of us. So let's keep our eyes on him, shall we? Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for each and every person here in the room and those who are watching by video. We're all challenged every day. as to whether or not we're going to allow your peace to circumvent everything else that would cause us to panic. And Lord, we recognize that in this world, things are going to happen. Bad things happen to good people. But the reality is we have an oasis to go to. We have a shelter in the time of storm. And so, Lord, as Solomon and David made it really clear that we would have wisdom, that we would have an understanding of who you are as our Heavenly Father, as our Savior, as our Comforter. And then, if there are times of panic, that we would remind ourselves that you've got given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, and whatsoever things are lovely, we're going to think on those things. You will bring us through each and every event that we're going through. And so, Lord, we trust you. We again say to you, thank you for helping us and for going before us and for all the ways you've been guiding us over these past weeks. We are incredibly blessed, and we just want to say thank you. In your powerful name we pray, amen. So, Father, we're so glad to be part of the family, and you've got great plans for us for this week. Thank you that the basics of life are sealed, signed, and delivered, and our names are written in your book of life. And now we've got a job to do. You want us to be ambassadors to a world around us that's panicking and stressed out and feeling overwhelmed. And so, Lord, we're going out knowing well what our commission is this week. And so bless each and every one of us. Bless all those who are listening by YouTube as well. And as we head into this new week, give us a confidence. Give us a peace. Remind us that you're living in us. And most of all, remind us that eternity waits. When this life journey is over, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Hallelujah.
So with that in mind, Father, I commend this family to you today. Bless them and keep them. In your powerful name I pray. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.